So I got to tell you, this show that you're about to see now, it was like just put together because we didn't have anything else to do, right? We had a guest by the name of Judy Wood. And Judy Wood is an immigration attorney with a human rights project. So Judy was here. She came to the studio. Oh, yeah. She came to the studio and she was waiting in the, you know, the green room area there. And while waiting, she grabbed one of my books, From Rage to Responsibility. See that brutal? That's me when I was young. I'm still young, never dying. But she grabbed this book and she was reading through it or looking at it. And my producer went out to get her ready for the show. And she was like, no, I'm not staying, I'm leaving. Why? Why? That's my producer. Why? Why? And Judy Wood said that he and I don't agree on anything or something like that. And so she walked out. Judy Wood of the Human Rights Project walked out on the taping before it happened. Now, you know, that's a beta woman, beta lady. And she called herself an immigration attorney. And what she tended to do, from what I read about her, is to help women come from foreign country into our country. Those that are supposed to be under duress or something. Yeah. But I wanted to interview Judy. But Judy picked up this book, From Rage to Responsibility, and Judy ran. So if you see Judy Woods, immigration attorney with the Human Rights Project, ask her why did she run from Jesse Lee Peterson's show, The Fallen State. I thought women were supposed to be strong. We're strong. Women can handle anything. Apparently she can't handle me. She cannot handle Jesse Lee Peterson. So Judy Wood is a coward. Beta lady! She ran before the show even got rolling. You ready? Welcome to The Fallen State. I am Destiny Peterson. Don't forget to ring the bell and what else?
Like,
follow, share, and all that stuff, all right?
Subscribe.
Help with the censorship. So I put together my radio crew, and I want you to, on the Fallen State, to meet the radio crew, all right? I'm really ad-libbing. I have no idea what I'm going to talk to them about at this point. My producer, Nick, and Nick is from Canada, an anchor baby.
Born in Miami.
Aren't you an anchor baby born in Miami?
I can neither confirm nor deny these allegations.
Anchor baby! Habla español?
No, only English.
No English?
Okay,
how
un poquito.
So how can you understand if you speak English?
Oh, dang it. You got me.
And Joel is my audio engineer. He's also the owner of Dancing on Nails with Jesus.
It's a new one.
Close.
Where's
close.
The call?
The Gifted of Dance.
You were this close.
The Gifted of Dance. It's his own company he started since working for me as my audio engineer. He's a part of our Barn Academy, Entrepreneur Academy. And so I grabbed him out of the studio. Hey, you got to come talk. All right? And then Hank of the Hank Report. At one time, he was a producer way back when. And so now he has his own show. The Hake Report, and it's on Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time. James Hake! Not hate, but Hake. And I apologize for his shirt. He was too buff to put on a different one.
Yeah.
King of the Cage.
He wanted me to, Jesse wanted me to put on a Christmas shirt.
Like that.
Like him, so I could be twins with him.
He you don't want to be twinning?
All the blacks want us to match.
Twins in the face, but not in the waist. Anyway, we
I can pass off as white. Huh?
So they were going to wear Christmas shirts and I was going to wear no sex at a wedlock.
So what?
Yeah, us no, Christmas.
I didn't get the hint.
Yeah, we'll do Christmas. I don't know what you're
no,
doing.
No, you here. Lied about the no sex at a wedlock.
Nope. All truth.
All true. So these guys are millennial guys too, so it's pretty cool. So we want to say from all of us, from the radio show, the Jesse Peterson radio show, that's on Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time. JLPtalk.com, in case you don't know. Thank you all for supporting us, really. You've been amazing with the radio show. James, anything you want to say thanks for to everybody?
Well, yeah, I mean, thanks for tuning in to DLive and YouTube And thank you for getting The Fallen State to 250,000 subscribers. That's cool.
How about the radio show?
The radio show is getting there. That's nice.
We're at 249 now.
We're at 249 something.
Yeah. Might be there when you guys see this episode. Might be 250.
Maybe. Or maybe...
when they see the episode.
It's not.
And the Hate Report, check it out.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
And so, are you a millennial?
Yeah, I'm a millennial, but I relate to the X people, too, because I'm an older millennial.
So you're like an old millennial.
Yeah.
You're right at the end when it first started.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you'll be out soon. Out of millennial.
Yeah, pretty soon I'll be a boomer. I'm basically a boomer.
I think that's how it works.
And so, what are you grateful for this past year, 2019, what was it like for you?
It was really fun. I got to, starting at White History Month 2019, thank you for the second annual White History Month. That was cool.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing.
In July, my birthday month.
July is?
Yeah.
We all month. Happy. We're happy to hear that.
Yeah, and so I started... forget you. I started jumping on the fourth hour of your stream to do my daily show, The Hate Report, and that was fun to do.
And James is the guy with the good hair.
And I'm glad that you have Nick as producer, because I had Daniel, who was a good producer, and then I lost him, and then it was a pain, and then Nick came in, and he jumped right in.
He did. Amazing thing. Are you married, for those who want to know?
Nope, not married.
Are you looking for a girl to marry?
No, you say don't look for a wife.
You're glad to hear that. Do you want to be married?
Maybe, yeah.
You want kids?
Maybe, yeah.
You're not sure?
I'm not sure.
We need white babies.
I know. I think it's a setup. I think there's like a brainwashing culture in the white world, and maybe all throughout America, that we grow up kind of selfish, not wanting to have to deal with kids.
Amazing. Joel, what are you grateful for?
I don't know. I was trying to think of some stuff while James was gone. I learned a lot
in
2019.
Joel is part Creole, part white, 30% white, and the rest is black. Believe me. Wait until you hear him read. You would know it's black.
I don't even know what I'm grateful for. I know 2018 to 19, you know, I started the company, the business, and just being a business owner and learning and growing in that has been different. But I don't know what I'm grateful for.
Do you want to be married one day with kids?
I hope to be.
You hope to be?
Uh-huh.
And how do you see women your age?
My age?
Millennial women.
There's not a lot of women who know what they really want in a man or themselves.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And why don't they?
Wild.
They're wild?
Uh-huh.
The millennial women your age?
Uh-huh.
Wild in what way?
And younger. In a sense of there's no self-control or direction on anything.
Amazing. Are you
and not be, all, of course, not all, but a lot of the ones I've been around.
Are you going to be able to show them
I
what they
to.
Need?
I hope when I'm walking, they see the halo.
What is it like to be, how old are you?
28.
And to have your own business?
I definitely see the responsibilities that are put into place now, that things I have to take care of that I didn't have to take care of before. The extra work that needs to be put in. So definitely the independence of having your own business.
Are you surprised as a black man, you know how they say black people, it's hard on a black man in America. Are you surprised to know that that's a lie?
That was a lie.
It's hard on a black man in America.
Oh my God. I even knew that was, even before I came to bond and understand, I even knew that all that stuff was silly. Like, I've been pulled over before multiple times, and I never at one time thought it was because I'm black. I never even questioned it was because I was black. To me, that's even since coming here, that's just been the silliest.
So you don't believe
it? I never thought about that.
When you were stopped, did you have insurance and driver's license on it?
A couple of times. I'm putting it all out there. A long time ago, I didn't have registration. A couple of times, and it got me, and then they let me go.
Oh, really?
So there's another proof, and they're white.
Black privilege.
Wow.
Right. So
you said black privilege.
Maybe.
Amazing. And so, Nick, you are from Canada. We met you from Canada, but you were born in America, right?
I was.
And how is it that you're an anchor baby then?
Because I was born in Miami, where most anchor babies are born. And because they swim over and they, well, not swim.
Your mama swam over?
Basically. Bona fide border hoppers.
Oh, okay.
And then they had me here. And then, you know, when you're born in America, you get citizenship. So I was born in Miami. And so I'm an American citizen through that.
So when your mama was swimming across, you were already pregnant?
No. Well, at least from the story. The story goes that I was conceived in America.
Oh, okay.
As well.
What is it like knowing that you're an anchor baby?
For a while, I didn't think about it at all. Like, it's not something I really examined until one day I saw my passport, right? I was just like, kind of like chilling in Canada. And I saw my passport, I'm like, that's right, I could just go to America. And it kind of started making me really think about it. And I heard someone say once about like serving two countries at once. And it's made me really think about it, like, if you really can. It doesn't stop me from being an opportunist. I still have both citizenships, but,
you know,
it makes me wonder, like, can you really serve two countries? Like, you have to pick one eventually.
And so what do you say?
I'm American.
You're American? And then when you go home,
about a one-way ticket.
You say,
then I'm Canadian.
What is life, how is life different in America than it is in Canada?
It is a little different. There's a few differences. Like, there's still Western, right? But there's things that strike, here's one that struck me as soon as I got here was there's liquor, like in convenience stores, gas stations, everywhere.
Oh, yeah?
In Canada, liquor's like sold to you by the government.
Really?
You have to go to the LCBO, the Luck Boat.
Really?
That's what we call it.
I'm glad you don't live in Canada.
I've heard stories where they won't stop you if you steal it.
If you steal the liquor?
No, they won't, actually. They'll let you walk out with it because of... there's something about petty theft that's not being... I forget what it is, but it's something to do with the LCBO specifically and how they're not dealing with petty theft because someone got hurt.
So Joel could be drunk one night and then decide he wants some more and I don't have any money. And he can just go over there and steal a bottle?
Well, the cashier will probably be like, oh, don't do that. But then they'll walk out. They'll try a little bit, right?
Really?
Well, that's they'll call the cops.
We're here too now.
Yeah.
Because they passed a law in California that you can steal up to $900. And so I see people going in stores now and stealing.
Very similar.
As long as they don't overdo $900, they get away with it.
They'll call the cops because the cops will take their time. Right. And then when they get there, you're already gone. They're like, oh, well, too bad.
So you want to be married one day in a family and all that?
I look forward to it if it happens. What's wrong with that?
You can't picture it?
You can't picture me married? It? Come on. You're a good father.
Yeah, you'll be a good father. Weak husband, but a good father.
Ooh.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. So I want to ask you guys about this so-called impeachment thing. Let's see how you see it. Joel, what do you think about the fake impeachment of the president, the Great White Hope?
Well, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch the thing. But I seen like a tweet where he said, oh, I saw a tweet. He black. I saw a tweet. I don't know what the tweet said. Something about they're not after me, they're after you, but I'm just in a way.
They're not after me, they're really after you.
Right.
I'm in the way.
Right. It just reminded me how, like, you know, I haven't watched the impeachment thing, I didn't watch none of that stuff, but it just reminded me how, like, you know, the Democrats and all that stuff are putting all this stuff, piling all these things on top of the president. Like, we got him for this, we got him for that, da da da. And then he just throws out, like, these, at different moments, but just these subtlety things, and then, like, clears the water out the way. You know what I mean? Like, those are little things, and then it's like, it makes so much sense, these one-liners. And to me, it just seems like, you know, and then just from the things I've heard, there's no real grounds on really any kind of impeachment. It's just, right. You know, just, oh, I don't like how he said this, or this is that, and that. So I don't think it's legit.
You said something the other day, you felt like you're in school because you're learning so much without really going to school.
Well, right. The fact that, you know, coming onto the, you know, on the show and being a part of the radio crew, you know, you hear all these news stories and stuff. And to be honest, before I came to Bond, I didn't know anything about politics. And then when I found out Trump was running, it was like right when I came to Bond, it was like when Trump was running. And then everybody was like, oh, Trump is this crazy guy, and he's just, you know, he's wild, he's obnoxious. And I believed into it, but I didn't really, like, make a big deal out of it. But now that I come here, I see, like, just certain things that I was just totally being tricked that people were telling me and what the internet was telling me. But being here is uncovering what's really going on.
Yeah.
And now I can just see that the things that they were making a big deal out of weren't even true.
Right.
But it's just, yeah, I've been learning a lot.
Yeah, you'd be a good husband, too.
I was thinking about it. I was like, how am I going to do the rest of this interview? I'm pissed off.
You can't say that.
Oops. I thought it was Fallen State.
P.O.'d.
Oh, Fallen State, you can curse.
I'm peed off.
You can curse on the Fallen State. Believe me.
It's not a family show.
What is it like when you working as producer for Jesse Peterson?
It's mind-blowing. It's crazy. It's like, well, first, you asked everybody else what they were grateful for.
Yeah, what are you grateful for?
I'm grateful that I can't recognize who I was like a year ago, or at least somewhat recognized, right? Like, I look at myself and it's just so many things I've had to like face. And it's just awesome because my life has changed so much. But being a producer is even, it's just another level. It's like, like, I don't even know. What can I even say about it? I'm in LA producing for Jesse. I've been watching you, right? Like from Canada.
Right.
So it's kind of just totally mind blowing.
Are you surprised that I walk out the studio and on it?
Yeah, that's my nightmare. But was I surprised that you do that? You know what? I don't know if let me put it like this. I'm not surprised that you discipline, like, your employees and stuff like that. So I don't know why I didn't expect that. I should have expected
it. What I'm talking about, sometimes when the producer, when the show doesn't go well, meaning that something goes wrong with the equipment or the guest is not up to par or something goes wrong with that, I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this. Bye. And everybody, and the producer just trips out. It's only a
trauma. It's a nightmare.
No, the first thing said is, did Joel press the wrong button? That's the first thing. Then we go down the list.
So Joel normally, you know, he's black, and he has a habit of pressing the wrong button and things don't go well. Am I right?
I can't lie. Sometimes I press the wrong button. I can't lie.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Not all the time.
Huh?
Not all the time.
Well, we said sometimes.
But it's most of the day.
And I'm like sweating. My hands get all like sweaty.
Especially on Mondays.
Yeah, Mondays are bad.
Rainy days and Mondays always get us down.
Not anymore.
You're trying to break that, right?
Yeah.
And so you've learned a lot about yourself.
Yes.
You've overcome a
big
lot.
Big time.
Are you able to tell us one or two examples?
Sure. You know what's a good one, actually? I'll give you a good one because it's one of those examples of where you think something has changed, but you hasn't, and you have to really examine yourself and admit where it hasn't changed.
Right.
For example, tripping out when people call stuff out about you.
Oh, yeah.
When people call, you know, stuff about you, just simple questions, because you ask simple questions, right? You ask simple stuff like, is this ready or is that ready? But someone who's not secure within is like, why are you examining me like that? Even though at one time I thought I even overcame that, it's kind of a blessing to like sit down, look at it, and be like, wow, that's still there.
Yeah.
So tripping out when people call out stuff about you.
That's good.
Is one.
And so what's your impression on
There's so many, though.
What's your impression on this phony impeachment thing?
I'm pissed off. There's moments I'm watching and I have a scowl, but I try not to let it get to me too much.
You have a scowl?
Yeah, I'm just like kind of seething. And I'm like this. I like this and I spit on the ground. And I grit through it. No, but it seems obvious. To me it looks obvious how, like, because I've been looking at it, right? I've been going through all the details, and
right.
It looks like a phony fake impeachment, and it's kind of a sad time. It's kind of stupid to see how like a lie can be pushed like that.
But I know, pushing a lie as though it's the truth, and then they act like we don't see that they're pushing a lie.
And then I have friends, roommates, or friends and family call me and be like, "Oh man, that's crazy about this, that." And I'm just like, I want to like, I have so much to like regurgitate, but I'm just like, they don't understand.
Yeah. Did you think that the Democrats would go this far with it?
No, I never expected anything like this.
Are you surprised?
The whole thing is very surprising, very shocking. Maybe you guys know about the Democrats better than I do, but this is insane.
I'm not surprised they went this far. And they're not done yet. We haven't seen it between now and 2020, the election time. We haven't seen it.
I believe that.
They're going to do some stuff that we don't even know Satan has. Really, it could be shocking. We haven't seen anything. Are you surprised that the Democrats are doing this to the president and then playing Christian?
No, it's like more of the same to me. Like, I knew it was coming, and I had kind of stopped paying attention, so I might have, if I was watching it as closely as Nick was, then maybe I would have gotten mad, but I wasn't really watching it closely anymore. I took a week off from looking at Drudge. You know how I read Hake News on your show? I took a week away from looking at Drudge, so I was looking at Fox News and just other outlets. And so, like, it wasn't as organized, because Drudge just kind of organizes it nicely, where I can just pull the headlines. But it was, I've watched Nancy Pelosi be, since being a fan of your show, and then to becoming the producer of your show, and then here now, I've watched how phony Nancy Pelosi has always been, talking, like, her stupid lines. And so I knew that they were going to go after Trump eventually, and I knew that they were going to find, and it just makes sense that they would find any excuse to do it, and they got this excuse with this guy in the deep state, the CIA. And then also, it's just, they're always really phony with the Christian thing. And you see, you've interviewed a ton of liberal Christians.
Yeah. Over they're like, I got to pray on it. And
yeah. So I knew that it's really not surprising seeing how they are. Like, this is a somber time and stupid.
And Nancy wore, they all, I guess, wore black during this year, right?
Right.
I mean, confirmation thing. And I guess Nancy had told the people not to applaud when she said confirm. And they start to applaud. She's like,
she does her hammer, and then she goes,
they're ruining the plan.
I know.
They're scared of Mama.
They are. She acted just like Mama. Yeah. I told you to sit down. I told you to shut up. I'm not surprised, because I've said over and over again that white people are afraid of black people. And I noticed that the more and more black people that get into government, the white liberals are afraid to go against what they say.
Yeah.
And the like reparations and all that. And the white Republicans are not going to say anything either. And so I think we're going to have, I know we're going to end, unless a miracle happens, we're going to end up with South Africa in America, and white people, land will be taken, they'll be murdered even more so, robbery, kill, and destroy. Because the white people are afraid of the people of color.
Yeah. You know, ever since the beginning, Maxine Waters has been saying, impeach 45.
Yeah. And then which of the West with the low IQ, Maxine Waters?
And then that stupid guy, Al Green.
Yeah.
He drew up articles of impeachment for when he fired Comey, which everybody agreed Comey should be fired. And the black, and then the Rashida Tlaib was like, we're going to impeach the MF-er. I think she said it to her son.
Amazing.
And she's not black, but she's a POC. So, you know, very unclassy lady.
I feel that when you talk about South Africa coming here, a conservative will be the first to tell you, okay, don't go that far.
Yeah.
All right, don't. That's crazy, dude. But that's obviously.
Until it's that. Yeah.
So what else?
Until it gets to that level.
But can you see that it's coming? Or am I the only one?
No, I can see what you're saying, because nothing's being done about the stuff that's happening. People just push it to the side, saying, oh, that's fine, that's just how they are. Or no one's confronting the issue, so they just let it go.
If we had a white government, this would not be happening. Because white liberals and white Republicans fighting them against this stuff, right? But because it's black and white, the whites are not going to stop the blacks.
Yeah, look at Steve King, Congressman Steve King.
Yeah.
He's like Western civilization. How did that become such a bad thing?
Right.
Because he brings a Western civilization, they link it to white nationalism, white supremacy. And then the whole government, including himself, censures him for it.
Right.
And he voted against himself.
But I feel like there's only a few whites like that who are going to be willing to do stuff. Like, for example, most like we see, a lot of whites that we see are afraid to say certain things. So if whites were to take over, I still think we'd still have an issue in a different kind of way. Because they're still afraid to do things.
But if they were not afraid and took over, we could save America.
Right. Yeah. But if blacks weren't angry, then we can also save America.
Are you afraid to be called a white nationalist?
Which side do you identify? The dark side or the light side?
30%.
I never even thought about that.
You know they think you're Uncle Tom, right?
Yeah.
And a sellout and a white nationalist.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Oh.
No.
Are you Nick?
I'm a white nationalist.
You're a white nationalist?
If anyone asks.
Are you afraid to stand up for white people in the public?
No.
You're not, why not?
No, I do, and sometimes to my detriment. Because there's times where you kind of should shut up.
What?
Isn't there times where you kind of should shut up?
But you stand up to what?
Well, sometimes people will just talk, like roommates or stuff, or they're to my detriment is what I say.
Oh, I see.
Sometimes people will say, and they just say something, and it's like, then I out myself.
Have you ever been called a racist?
Yeah, and a race traitor by Spanish, by Mexicans, by Latinos.
Why do they call you that?
They call me a race traitor. Because I'm supposed to be for La Raza.
Really?
Supposed to be for La Raza, man. No?
And then when they think you are until you speak?
Yes, because I speak Spanish with them, and then my last name is Gonzalez, and they tell me, the illegals will tell me that they're illegal, no problem.
You know?
But they don't know.
They don't know you're illegal.
That I would call ICE.
Oh, that you call ICE. So what's important to you?
What's important to me? Dang. Wow, what's important to me? Because there's so many things I could say, but I'm on TV. No, it's important to me. Here's one thing that is important to me is like when lies are said, like I have a hard time not correcting people if I know it's a lie.
All right.
So that's important to me. Saying the truth, correcting people's lies, or maybe that's just me being like a know-it-all. Go ahead, say it.
What's important to you, Joe?
I want to say what's important to me is trying to do what's right, but I don't think that it's a good thing. I don't think anything should be important to you, but it is important to me.
To try to do what's right?
Right. But I don't think
that's
good.
Why shouldn't that be important to you?
Because if anything is too important, you obsess over it.
Oh, so trying to do what's right is too important to you?
Because, yeah, I find myself sometimes obsessing over trying to do the right thing. And then you get caught up in your head trying to figure out, well, is this right? Is that right? And then you just, it's too important. So I don't think.
When you say try to do the right thing, what do you mean?
Meaning like making sure, because, you know, you... when you're trying to walk, you know, the right path, saying where that can come up with, is that when you do the right thing, you see the results of what comes from doing the right thing. So you constantly want to do the right thing, but there's a danger of getting caught up in trying to do the right thing all the time instead of just living your life that it becomes too important to do the right thing.
Oh.
And it becomes an issue.
And so when it get that way, do you start doing wrong?
No, I don't think I started doing it wrong. I think I had to tell myself, relax.
Oh.
Yeah, just
amazing.
Chill.
What do you think about what you just said?
Relax.
Chill, Greta.
Just chill. While he was saying it, to be honest, I was just like, oh, I know there's something I care about.
What?
That's important to me.
What?
Something more honest.
What?
Like something more honest.
Oh.
I think I cared. I care what I think. Being liked, and I sometimes put too much importance to that. Being liked
I'll
and
be
like,
light.
And like seeming. Just being likable, I guess. I don't know. Something like that.
That's real important to you at times?
At times, yeah.
Or being liked?
Yeah.
Or likable?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You think at times you're an unlikable person or something?
Probably. I don't think about that too much, but probably, yeah.
Sometimes your hair looks like a Mexican hair, and sometimes it doesn't. It looked like Mexican right now. Why?
It's like whatever gene is being expressed. I don't know. Sometimes it's just bed hair. It's just like pressed down. Sometimes right after a shower, I get that curly Chicano look, and then you're like, who's this Mexican?
And sometimes I look like a white person.
Do I?
Your hair.
Wow. Does it really?
What's important to you, James?
Well, work and fun. Dang, I'm white. Look down at my arms.
Yeah,
the insides of my arms. Well, actually, that side's white, too. Not getting sun is not important to me, at least lately.
Can we get a close-up
Maybe
shot?
Maybe it should be. Okay. Exercise, you know, that should be important.
But he's white, too, on his arms.
We need a close-up shot.
Look at that.
Get me out of
here. He's messy. But go ahead.
Fun.
Does Joel look like an Oreo cookie in the middle?
The reverse kind, where it's the chocolate. Vanilla on the outside and the chocolate on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
You ever been in a Hate Goes All sandwich?
What?
Nothing.
What? Go ahead.
I can definitely relate to what he said. I was going to Subway, and I was at the crosswalk, and this white guy comes up to me, and he's like, I'm so done with this city. It's not nice here. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. And then he walked up ahead of me, and he was like this weird-looking white guy. And I'm like, man, later on, I thought, a lot of white guys are weird. But I saw him ordering his food, and there was no desire to be liked that he was expressing, at least. He was just being weird, but watching them, making sure they did it right, pull out more of the bread. He's white. And then,
he's white.
And then I do my thing. I'm like more likable, and I like smiling and stuff like that. So I think I have that too. Well, I know I have that big time.
Oh.
But I'm not really thinking that. It's like so. It just comes so natural, unnatural. Mm. So I'm not really thinking of that as being important. Oh. But it is, but I think that I relate to him in that. But work and fun are the things that I'm...
What kind of fun you like?
I like, you know, hanging out, chilling with friends, stuff like that.
Oh. What kind of fun you like?
I think the same thing, hanging out. Chilling with friends.
You know. I used to like soccer, but
nice.
I used to like running.
I like active thing. I like doing active stuff. Like I grew up kind of playing sports, and my family was kind of active, so I like skate rink, football, a little flag football. I know you don't like flag football.
Beta football. Flag football is when you put the flag on, and then you get the ball, and then you have to run over. And give it to the person. They can't touch you. Right?
You're not that beta.
But it's something like that, right? You can't.
It's a little aggressive, though. A little aggressive.
The person that has the ball can't be touched.
No, they can't be flags. Touched, but you got to pull the flag.
You have little flags on your
You
legs.
Can't touch the person. You have to pull the flag.
Right.
You
can touch the person, but you got
to pull the flag. Do you feel girly when you play that game?
No, I have to get to work the next day, so I can't be playing tackle.
Beta! Beta, man!
You can make a face.
It's still fun, though.
So you run over, and the person with the ball has a flag.
You can die.
And then you give him the flag.
And you run over, you go,
You make those noises.
I got your flag.
You make those noises, too.
Oh, yeah.
You have to.
Do they know you pull the flag?
Yeah, you pull the flag. But you can die. You can make it aggressive. You could try.
You could do like a little face.
Can you really? You play flag football too?
I played.
But it is the... It is
Beta male again.
It is
It was part of gym class. I couldn't say no. What's it called here? P.E.?
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me like that?
No, I'm just... And so, what do you like doing? What's your thing to do?
Lately, poker. I'm never... Just something my roommates and their friends that I've met, they're on this poker kick right now, and I've been playing with them.
So are you pretty good cool.
I think I'm okay. Oh, I kind of cleaned up in the first time we played. It's probably because they underestimated me.
They what?
Underestimated me or something.
And you cleaned up?
Yeah.
And now, how about now?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
I've never really played before, but it's what I've been doing lately. But interests that I've always had, soccer, I play music.
Were you raised by both parents?
No. And I was raised by my grandma, actually.
Your grandma?
It was me and my grandma. And then along the way, her daughters, one of them being my mother, right? But I never lived with her. But I had sisters growing up who were actually my aunts, but they're the daughters of my grandma. And they always called me brother, so I called them sister.
Right.
So they were around the house, too. So I kind of had them growing up, but they left really soon, so I was kind of just me and my grandma for a while.
And what was that like for you growing up?
It was, like, weird for a while. No, what? She was, like, there was a lot of, like, old school things that she taught me that were good. There was a lot missing.
Yeah.
And not only that, it was like, you know what was weird about it, actually? Was I felt like I was so hands-off. I feel like other people are like, oh, you know, they're reacting with their family and stuff. But I was like, hands off. I was like, there's that kid over there. And, you know, you tell him things. And it felt like hands off, I guess. So that was kind of weird. Because I knew it was something weird about it. But
so are you saying they dealt with you with hands off or you?
Yeah, it felt like that. Because first of all, it's just me and my grandma, right?
Right.
But then my grandma would like work and then she'd kind of do her own thing.
Right.
And I was growing up there too. You know what I mean?
Amazing.
So one word to describe it would be weird.
Very weird.
But if you told me to choose one word.
Oh, yeah.
But whatever, it just was what it was.
What was it like? You grew up with both parents? I already know, but...
No, I had my mom and then my older sister and then my little brother. Yeah, so I had two... Up until 8, when my little brother was born, I had two ladies in the house, so my older sister and my mom.
Wow, what was that like?
A lot of... I knew stuff like that I didn't need to know, tampon stuff, the cycle stuff, attitudes.
Once I woke up with one beside my head.
What?
A used tampon. I didn't know what it was. I was really young, and I had three.
You
sisters.
Had a used tampon beside your head.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I still can't understand that memory.
You thought it was a
someone explained this memory to me.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
How old were you?
I was really young. Probably like 6 or 7.
So when you saw it there, what'd you do?
I was like, ew, that's blood. Sorry.
How did it get there?
Where were you sitting?
Huh? How did it get there?
I don't know. I still can't explain the memory.
So when you called mama, this thing is here.
No, I just threw it away, locked the memory away, and never thought about it till now.
Really?
What'd you throw it away with?
Like... Oh,
you picked it up?
I can't remember. I think I just picked it up.
Gross.
Wow. It was like, you know how like you pick up something gross, but you're like fast? It's like, I barely touched it.
3 seconds.
And so, go ahead. And so you were learning about tampon too?
Sorry.
Yeah, and then my sister used to, no, but I used to know, I used to know the names, I used to know all this stuff. But then there's this thing that I hated that my sister likes the emotional type where she likes affection. So she always kiss me and stuff and all that stuff. And always, to at least until I was, from what I remember, 5, I used to hate it.
Yeah.
Like, stop kissing. My mom used to stop kissing your brother. So she's always trying to kiss. It was just a very soft household.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So are you a soft guy now?
I think that I, for some kind of reason, even through it, I'm not saying that I'm not a soft guy, but even through it, I was still able to have like my identity a little bit to where I didn't like become, you know, wildly feminine or be switching and all that stuff. So...
Let me see how you switch.
Give us your best switch.
You have to demonstrate to the people what switching means.
Yeah,
some people don't know what
switching means. Give us your best switch.
All dancers know how to switch.
I'm trying to embarrass myself. But
I clearly don't care.
You want to show us how to switch?
No. I'm not going to be the only one.
I forgot what I was saying now.
You weren't switching with the women, they raise you.
So I was a little bit. Yeah, I was a little bit, you know, separated from that, protected from that. But I did take on, you know, mama's identity, but not to the point to where it, like, consumed me, where I became my mother. I think I was still kind of separated, which was nice, grateful. Yeah. But I did take on that, you know, the attitude, the blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But, you know, it's gotten a lot different. It's changed a lot over time.
Were you close to your father at all?
You said, was I close to my father?
Were you seeing him?
He was there, and I seen him every once in a while, but he wasn't, like, involved. But up until I was, I think, 7, we lived in this city. So you would go to my baseball games, he would take me to my baseball games, football games. He was like the coach. And then we moved away like after 7, and then slowly it was like every other weekend and every once in a while. So he was there, but it just wasn't like, it didn't, you know, kind of the same story. But he was there. He was there.
But they weren't married or together.
They weren't married or together, no. Okay. But I still had a somewhat of a relationship. He wasn't absent.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing. And were you raised by both parents?
Yes.
What was that like for you?
It was cool. And then I had a bunch of siblings, too, and then also cousins and grandparents, all in the area.
Oh, I see.
And it was fun. I liked it. I admired my dad from afar. But I remember, like, as I grew up, I would, like, he would be coming this way around the house, and I would go this way around the house. So I would kind of avoid him. I don't know if it was to avoid being assigned some chore, some task, or what it was. I don't remember exactly, but it was like a fear of him or something.
Who were you closer to?
My mother.
So you helped with the tampons, too?
No, I didn't have to do anything like that. My sister and my mother were pretty close too, but my sister was also close to my dad.
Oh, okay.
And it seemed like all the siblings were closer to my dad. I think that I was, maybe my younger brother and I were the most distant from him.
And where was your father? Were you close to your father?
I don't know him.
You don't know him?
No.
You don't know who he is at
all? I know his name is Jose.
Jose?
Jose.
Jose.
Jose Prieto. And he's Cuban. Yeah, he drove a motorcycle, apparently.
He what?
He drove a motorcycle, apparently.
Oh.
That's probably how he got mom.
But you never met him?
No.
You never met your father?
Never, no.
What was that like?
A little weird for a while. But, I mean, I didn't know it was weird. I didn't even know what was wrong. And then I kind of realized, oh, dang, like, I'm missing a lot. And it's definitely, like, a journey. But it's cool to realize what it was that was missing, because it's like, wow, it's like now, because I was like walking away from, I guess, my true self or what I'm supposed to be. But it feels like now I'm like journeying back. You know what I mean?
Oh, good.
It's like, oh, now it's the journey back.
Yeah. And the last question that I got to put you on the hot seat. When you first started dating, what did the girls think of you, and how was it dealing with girls?
I remember the first time I knew girls were into me. I remember the first time, actually, was because I was in this, it was in, like, early high school, and I forgot what it was that happened, but one girl in the group was like, oh, yeah, Nick, he's a stud muffin. That's what you call me, right? And I was like, uh-oh. Something clicked, because I had a string of girlfriends after that.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, that was a mess. I was like, whoa.
And you dealt with them right?
No.
You afraid of them?
Well, interestingly enough, actually, the best way to describe the relationships I've had, it's like always, you know what, actually, they're all the same. And they've always, for the first while, and my relationships have always lasted too, like years, like a few, like at least a year or two or three.
Oh, yeah.
And they're always really into me. Like really into me, and I kind of like dominate, and I kind of feel like the big man for a while, and I like dominate in the relationship, and it just But then it like flips somewhere along the way. It totally flips. And I become a beta, like the worst, and they hate me.
And they hate you?
Yeah.
We
start fighting about everything. It's just somewhere along the way it flips.
Amazing.
Yeah. But I didn't know before what was happening.
What was it like for you when you first started dating?
When I first started dating, I would get really into the girls. And then they would like me because, I always played sports, I always danced. So they kind of liked that. So I was kind of like the cool kid, you know, to them, not to me. It didn't feel like it was to me. I never used to think, I was like, what? But so I would get them, but then I couldn't keep them because I would get too into them.
Oh.
So then, and I used to always be like, but I'm nice. And I used to always think that they're tripping. I'm like, I don't understand. How are they not? I'm nice. And then I realized, like, it's just because I was nice.
what were you doing that implied to you that was nice?
I just was, beta in the sense of just, like, not putting my foot down when it was needed. Like, just kind of like, I think, now that I think about it, is that giving that same kind of, like, portraying that same type of love that was given to me, to where it's just all emotional.
Right.
And then not like being the enforcer or just being, not even necessarily being the enforcer, but just having the right posture when it comes to just being, the man in the relationship. It wasn't that.
You couldn't do it.
It wasn't in me.
But you didn't know it was missing.
I didn't know it was missing.
Did you think you were doing the right thing?
I was doing the right thing. I thought I was being nice was it.
And how did you, what caused you to realize during that time that you wanted to be, it wasn't it?
I didn't even realize it till probably after I graduated into my relationship that was, it wasn't serious, but the first girlfriend that I had to where the role started to change, and then I started to be like, because I got like, a little puppy love, and I was like 14, 15. And then, you get your little heart broken. And then at that point, you're thinking like, okay, like I ain't doing that no more. So then I realized then like, how many things that she was doing, to me that I was allowing, and I was like, well, she wouldn't have did it if I sat there and let it happen.
Right.
So then in a relationship after that, I started to realize like, okay, well, I'm not gonna allow those same things. So when I did that, it was working. Like she used to have like a bad mouth, she used to cuss. And I used to tell her like, I started voicing my opinions, and I was like, I don't like that you cuss, and I definitely don't like that you cuss towards me. And she liked that. And then she was like, okay, I won't do it. She never did it again. So I started to realize, like, oh, okay, I see, the dynamic. And it wasn't like I was trying to do that, but I just realized from the last relationship, I ain't gonna let this happen again.
Right.
So when I did it, I started to see, like, okay, the nice part don't get you far.
Beta. James, where do broken hearts go?
To the dock of the bay.
What was it like with you when you first started dating?
Well, I'm distracted because I want to bring up how Joel, one time he told a story on the Hake Report, I think, about how a girl committed domestic violence against him.
Oh, man.
Well, you know what? The rest of the world didn't know till now.
Go to the Hake Report to find out the story.
What did she do to you?
Do I want to bring it up? No, we can talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Watch the Hague Report.
Amazing. So you've been beat by a woman?
I wasn't beat.
Was it on your show?
It was on my show. I know he said it on my show.
In general, what it was is that we were having a conversation, and I said some things that were inappropriate. We were under, we had a few little drinks, It just went bad. But I understand why it happened.
I bet you do. You got beat. You told Harpo to beat me.
It wasn't a beating.
Have you ever got beat by a woman?
No.
No?
I mean, Not when I didn't want to. That's okay. I was making a joke. I was on the spot making a joke. I swear.
I got an interesting. So, Jay, right. What was it like real fast for you when you started dating?
It was interesting because, like, some of the girls I was into, but not that into. And some of them I, like, pursued way too much too early, and then I didn't get a chance. And then, like, basically scared them away. But others, like, they would get under my skin, or I would see something either feminist about them or dishonest about them. And I would just, at that point, just decide to just go push them to be more honest than they were willing to be. And so basically bury the relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got to heat it up real fast, and I want you to answer as quickly as possible.
The Hot Seat.
Start with Nick. Are you a nationalist?
Yes.
Should the Bible be taken literally?
No.
Do you love capitalism?
Oh, man. I love nothing and no one.
Oh, Lord.
No.
Is climate change real?
No. No.
Is Lion Crooked Hillary a good role model for women?
No.
Will Kanye West become president one day?
No.
Is Joe Biden a good president candidate?
No.
Is the world overpopulated?
Seem like it.
Just get out of LA, it's fine.
Do you trust vaccines?
Huh?
Do you trust vaccines?
No.
Okay, Bill Gates.
Is it okay to hate?
No.
Amazing. Thank you, guys. This is the radio crew, folks, over the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. Ex-producer, but now has his own show, James Hake of The Hate Report. Joel, audio engineer, and also giftedofdance.com.
Yeah.
Tell the folks how to get
you. TheGiftedofDance.com.
Yeah, TheGiftedofDance.com.
How do you get The Hate Report?
TheHakeReport.com.
Monday through Friday
and Sunday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time,
So Joel has a couple of studios, so if you're interested in dancing, he is the best. So check him out. And how do people, you don't have anything.
No, you can reach me at anchorbabies4u.com.
Thank you all so much.
Can I comment on the flake woman?
Yes. Yeah.
She works for this human rights company.
Right.
I already know she's a communist. Like, nothing good comes from anybody who promotes so-called human rights or civil rights.
Amazing. So you're not surprised she ran?
I'm not surprised.
So let us hear from you. Don't forget to like, follow, treat, subscribe, share. And Sonny, we have excellent merch on thefallenstate.tv, all right? Thank you, folks, and I appreciate it. We had nothing else to do, so I want you to meet the staff. All right? Thank you so much.
Next time on The Fallen State.
You would never love a man that supports Donald Trump.
I'm just saying that I don't want to be romantically involved. I felt post-Trump stress disorder.
So would you find me a date?
I can absolutely find you a date.
Oh, yeah?
But it might be in Orange County.
I can't imagine myself going online for a date. It just seems so unmanly.
A lot of people are very busy with work, and they don't have time to go out.
You gave baby boomers advice on dating.
They're divorced and raise their children, and they have empty nests. So the boomers are joining dating apps in record numbers because they don't want to be this odd person at a dinner table or not get invited to parties.
So they're not satisfied being around their children or grandkids.
It can be kind of lonely. The boomers are also looking for sex, by the way. They would like to have a sexually healthy relationship.
Come on.
Thanks for watching The Fallen State. We need your continued support. Donate to my nonprofit here. Subscribe and like the videos here and tell everybody and their mama about the show.